It sounds like something a heartless corporation would do, fire middle managers before they have a chance to qualify for retirement benefits. But in this case, it's the Air Force. Now a group of majors is demanding reinstatement. Handling their case, attorney Greg Rinke, founding partner of Tully Rinke. And Greg, you've got quite a number on your hands this time. Tell us about this case.
We have about 16 officers that we just filed a case at the Federal Court of Claims in regard to them being separated from the Air Force short of their 20 years to qualify for retirement. And what we believe is that the Secretary of the Air Force basically changed the 6-year protective window to a 5-year protective window when they were passed over for promotion twice. And thus, they were basically separated short of being able to qualify for a active duty retirement.
Tell me more about that 6-year and 5-year rule. What does it state?
Well, basically, the Department of Defense instruction stated at the time that twice passed over majors shall normally be selected for continuation if the officer will qualify for retirement within 6 years. And what we allege is that the Secretary of the Air Force narrowed that down to 5 years. And basically, these officers were then separated illegally from the Air Force.
These 20 are out of how many do we know were actually separated at that same time?
I believe that there is probably about 200.
And this is part of the general Air Force downsizing that has been going on for some time now, and I guess more is planned.
Unfortunately, that's exactly what this is about, is the downsizing of the military. However, what makes this case even more upsetting is the fact that after these officers were separated, about 3 weeks later, the early retirement came out. So if these officers had not been separated early from within this 3-week period, they would have qualified for an early retirement. And many of these officers also were forced to repay bonuses that they had taken basically for continuation on active duty. So some of these officers got hit with double whammies of not only losing their job, losing their retirement, but then also having to repay a bonus.
Sounds like you're alleging that they were let go precisely so that the Air Force could avoid paying out benefits they otherwise would have been entitled to.
Exactly.
What happens next? How does this case make its way through the courts, and what happens?
Well, we just filed the complaint at the Federal Court of Claims, and that was filed about 2 weeks ago. So the Air Force now will submit a response, and then it'll process through the Court of Federal Claims. So we anticipate hearing something probably in the next several months.
Is this a class action suit, or is it a collection of individual suits? What's the structure of it?
Yeah, at this point, it's not a class action suit because each officer's facts are a little bit different, because some officers were able to get into the reserves and then get retirement through a reserve. Some of them were also promoted in the reserve. So each case is a little bit different. So we filed these individually, and now we're going to move to consolidate the cases so that they can be heard together. So it's not a class action, but any other officer in the same situation is free to file a suit.
Once it's consolidated, could some of those 200 hear about this and say, can I get in on this, but they would have to file separately?
Yeah, at this point, they would have to file separately. We would move to consolidate their action with these cases.
What do we know about these officers in terms of the jobs, descriptions, and the title, the roles they had in the Air Force? Is it air staff or is it support staff? What did they do?
They ranged. Most of them, though, were support staff, but they really ranged in what their job duties were.
And with respect to this rule, the order of 6 years to 5 years, is that something that the Secretary of the Air Force or the Chief of Staff of the Air Force can arbitrarily change?
Well, it's our argument that, no, they can't arbitrarily change it. They have to get permission from the Secretary of Defense. And it's our position that the way that the Secretary of Air Force went about notifying the Secretary of Defense was wrongful and not in conformity with the regulation.
And what in the past has the Air Force's argument been? Do you have any sense of the way that they will come back at you in this particular case?
First way they're going to come back is they're likely going to come back and say that statute of limitation has run. That's going to be their first argument, which I don't think is a successful argument. The second argument, I think, is going to be that the Secretary of the Air Force notified the Secretary of Defense, and it was within his authority to basically shorten that window down from 6 years to 5 years. The argument against that, though, is that you know, basically a year later, the Department of Defense instruction was later modified to basically narrow that window down from 6 years to 4 years. So, in effect, the Secretary of Defense basically did make that change, but it wasn't until years after this action took place.
So you're trying to maybe narrow down the arbitrariness of that time period that might be exercised by Air Force management.
Absolutely.
What's the timeline? How long do these things tend to take, and do you expect appeals one way or the other?
Well, I mean, these cases, you can never put a timeline on them, but I would expect that, you know, we should probably have an answer within the next several months. They tend to move fairly quickly through the Court of Federal Claims. So there'll be various motions filed and rulings on the motions, and we'll definitely keep you posted as we move through the process.
This phenomenon of early mustering out before people can get benefits, is that something exclusive to the Air Force have we seen, or have you noticed this maybe in the other armed services also?
No, unfortunately, we've seen this throughout the branches, of whether it be through quality management programs and downsizing and, you know, forcing enlisted out through various types of separations. You know, as the military is downsizing, there's a pressure to cull the herd. And we've even seen it in pre-commissioning programs, whether it be through ROTC and the academies, as to where, you know, the regulations were kind of looked at a little bit more leniently in the past. Now they're adhering to the regulations pretty stringently, so that they can reduce the number of officers.
And what are you generally asking for of the court?
Well, we're asking that they basically either be put back on active duty, or that they qualify for an active duty retirement, or potentially even an early retirement, and that they not have to pay back any bonus that they took.
Are they all male officers, or are there also female officers, too?
There are also female officers. I believe all of our clients, though, are male.
Greg Rinke is a founding partner of the law firm Tully Rinke. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.